Good morning and welcome to East Tennessee Now, a weekly public affairs program featuring some of the people and organizations that make our community such a great place to live, work, and raise a family. Here's your host for East Tennessee Now.
Good morning and thank you for listening to East Tennessee Now. I'm Michelle Silva. Spring is in full swing, and IAMS Nature Center is back with their third annual Flourish Runway Show. The show will be bringing eco-friendly and sustainable punk versus funk styles to the runway, along with an array of vendors and live music performances. This morning, Sarah Brose joins Darius Williams in the studio to talk more about the show.
Good morning. My name is Darius Williams, and thank you for listening to East Tennessee Now. Coming up April 21st, the IAMS Nature Center will be bringing back Flourish, a sustainable fashion event that brings eco-friendly and sustainable punk versus funk designs to the runway. And to talk more about it, we have Sarah from the IAMS Nature Center. How are you doing today?
I am so good. It's such a great day out.
Oh, most definitely, most definitely. Finally got some sun in, all right?
Right? And I'm ready for it. Spring is here. Everything's turning green.
Right.
Loving it.
Perfect time for a fashion show, right?
I mean, you know, with everything flourishing and blooming out there, you might as well throw in a little bit of fashion and a little bit of upcycling, and boom, we've got our event.
Exactly. So this is the third year you've all have put this event on.
It is.
So how has it grown since its inception?
Oh my gosh. So leaps and bounds. So it started 3 years ago, and the first year we were just feeling it out. We had it at our at the IAMS home site, where the IAMS original family had their homestead. We had about 150 people show up. I think we had a little over 40 something designs, and like 12 designers. It was beautiful. It was elegant. It was wonderful. And in the second year, we had already outgrown that spot. So then we moved it over to the main site. And last year, we had redone our like big pond out front, and that was like unveiling was kind of at this event. And we jumped from having 40 something designs to 60 plus designs.
Wow.
And then we had like 18 designers. And this year we have over 100 models that are going to be on the runway. We have 27 designers out there. We're almost like tickets are selling like hotcakes. So it, I mean, we've grown immensely in the last couple years, and each year we get to grow and make something new and add more elements to it, which is what we're doing this year.
Cool. So what new elements are coming to the show this year?
So last year we introduced a live music element, and this year we're going to have like a dueling band thing. Since we have the punk element and a funk element, we're going to have two acts as part of our runway show.
Cool.
So the first act will be funk, and we have one of the, Brent Hyder is going to be our funk artist, and he's great. He's a loop artist here in Knoxville, and he just brings the vibes for that. And then they're going to have like a little dueling thing. There's going to be a little bit of an intermission with maybe some secret stuff going on. And then the second act will pick up with a punkish rock band.
Right.
So that's new. We have education stations all over the place. So the whole reason that we're doing this is to bring about, the why. The why is, can we make more eco-conscious choices? You know, we have enough clothing in the earth right, or on the earth right now to outfit the next six generations of people. What are we doing about it besides just throwing it in the landfill when we get tired of it? So, we're combining this, you know, IAMS has a love for nature and we want to connect people with nature. But what does that mean in our daily lives? How do we interact just on a regular with nature? How does our choices affect the environment? And what we can do about it?
Right, right. I know when people think about sustainability and environmental causes, they automatically assume pollution, trash, things like that. So what is fashion and the clothes we wear? What effect does that have on the environment?
Yeah, well, most people don't even know that, like, anytime that you don't have, like, if you have a cotton or a hemp or a natural fiber, that will break down and just go back. It can be almost like composted in so many ways. it will break down and go back to the earth. Anything that is synthetic, anything that has stretch to it, your rayons, your polyesters, all of that is plastic. So anytime you wash your clothes, that's putting microplastics into the environment. And everybody's heard about microplastics being found in food and water sources. It's all due to what we wear, and we don't even think about every teeny tiny little fiber that comes out and ends up, you know, going into our waterways, getting into our water supply that we're drinking every single day, and how that's going to affect us.
It doesn't make a lot of sense, because I know the Knoxville Vintage Market, that's their thing, keeping moving forward with sustainability. And, you know, I didn't really think about as far as polyester and rayon.
Yeah.
That kind of stuff sticking around for a long time.
For a long, long time. And it won't be in the same form, but it's going to have an effect on us. But going back to the vintage market, that is a fantastic way to keep, you know, some timeless pieces and even some, you know, fun new pieces alive and kicking and giving it a second life. Even if it's done for you, have a clothing swap with a friend. Mm-hmm. Go thrifting. You know, there's so many different ways that you can take the next step to make a little bit eco-conscious rather than just buying the newest thing online and then wearing it. I think the average clothes, I think you wear it like less than 6 times before you...
Really?
Before you, there's a new trend coming out. So, yeah. So, I mean, everything that I'm wearing today, I'm like, all right, thrifted, borrowed.
I'm a very above average guy because I got this from the vintage market. My t-shirt, I've had this since like high school.
Nice. And so you're like, I'm living it.
Yeah,
it's all good.
I'm living the life right now.
Yeah.
So cool. So what are some examples of sustainable materials and recycling methods that the designers for this year's show have incorporated into the creations for the show this year?
Okay, so there's a lot of different things. Reclaim Creative is one of the designers that's been with us for a while. Like, she uses quilts. Like, she takes old quilts and turns them into fashionable things. Mm-hmm. We have one designer that is creating their own sequence out of like SCOBYs, which is, you know, if you have ever had kombucha, the little like gooey ball that actually makes and ferments the teas.
Yeah.
They're making their own stuff out of that.
Interesting.
We have a lot of different people who have gone vintage shopping or taken old stuff and completely demolished it and are putting it back together as something brand spanking new.
Okay, cool. So they're like making something out of these materials. That's mm-hmm. pretty interesting.
Yeah.
So I see, especially with the vintage market, it's like they take really cool stuff they find at Goodwill or thrift stores and resell them. You know, it's very rare that you find people actually like making.
Exactly. Like, to be like, I really liked it then. What can I create with it now?
Right. For sure. So in what ways does Flourish promote awareness about the conservation efforts within the fashion industry?
Yeah. So Flourish is kind of the big event of our Take Action series. IAMS has done a Take Action series for many years. And I guess the tagline is big and small ways to help the planet. And that could be everything from, you know, knowing where your food comes from, mm-hmm. starting a compost pile, pulling invasive species out of your yard, learning how to use green products in your house rather than chemicals, because all of that ends up in the waterways. So we've had this series for many, many years. And this event was a natural tie-in. So we kind of promote that this is one step that you can do. It's just a little bit more glamorous than, you know, switching to non-chemicals in your house or, you know, throwing all your food scraps in a compost pile. Like, I have 2 compost piles at home and I love them. Mm-hmm. My gardens are thriving. but there's so many little steps. And it takes is something little to change the environment around you, to change, you know, your ecosystem in your own backyard, to change the, you know, how healthy your house is. I mean, there's so many studies that say that the air in your home is dirtier than the air outside.
Because
if you're burning candles or you have those plugins or you're using chemicals, like it all gets trapped in your home and it doesn't, you know, if you're not airing it out, then it can even be more toxic than what you're breathing outside.
I understand. So you got to open up a window every now and then.
Open up a window. Get that fresh air. Go for a walk.
I can dig it. So now we see a lot of these websites like Fashion Nova, mm-hmm. Shein, you know, these fast fashion companies that are becoming more and more popular. What effect are they having on the environment?
Well, it's having effects on the environment because a lot of those, one, they're not using sustainable resources. They're not going more into sustainability. The people that are making it, you know, a lot of it is sweatshops, even though they say, no, it's not. If you go over there, people who are making those clothes are not paid living wages.
Right.
The environments in which they're making those clothes, they're dealing with harsh chemicals. They don't have, you know, the regulations in a lot of those different countries. So it goes above and beyond just sustainability with the fibers that are being made or, you know, how fast it's being produced. It goes into, you know, people, the livelihood of people
right.
around the world that are facing the facts that our problem with clothing and fast fashion is affecting their daily lives and how they can even survive.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. I think about that all the time, especially when it comes to material, because I know my mom, she's been super into Temu. I have a little girl, so she buys her all these clothes from Temu, and you know, it's like $2 for a million outfits.
Right.
But you get it in the material, just It's not going to hold up.
You're going to wear it. She's going to wear it three times and it's going to fall apart.
Right.
And then what do? You throw it away.
Right.
A lot of times. And, you know, landfills only go so far. A lot of times they even ship fibers overseas to different countries.
Mm-hmm.
And put it in another country's hands to be like, it's your problem now.
Right.
And people are getting overrun with it. So what are the better options? Is there what better ways that we can change the view to use more sustainable fibers or mm-hmm. something that will actually break down and go back to the earth,
right.
you know?
So with these sustainability practices with clothes and reusing it. So if, say a shirt, like you said, can be worn for six generations. So six generations from now, what do they do with it then?
Exactly. I mean, if it's there is always going to be a timeline for an item.
Right.
There's a lot of clothing companies that are or companies, not clothing companies that are coming out that are finding ways to recycle these clothes that we've used for generations and generations.
Right.
It's harder to do that because of all the different fiber content and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But they're finding ways. So the technology six generations from now might be able to take that, you know, like and break it down and recycle mm-hmm. it or something.
Right.
We don't even know what technology is going to be out there in, you know, 5 years, 10 years down the line, because there's already new technology coming up.
Right.
That's just on the startup.
Right.
You know, it's one of those startup companies that just needs a little hand mm-hmm. and it can really help the environment.
No, for sure. I know I used to work at the Nike store.
Yeah.
They were starting to introduce recycled Nikes.
Yep.
From like literally they would grind up Nikes and smush them into new ones.
Right. And you're like, but that technology wasn't even there probably like 10 years ago. So coming up with these new and inventive ideas, I mean, the younger generation, they're creative. Mm. They're going to come up with something. And hopefully we can support them in doing some amazing, great things.
Right. Yeah, for sure. And I feel like it all starts with education.
Yeah.
You know, teaching them that these, one, about the problem, and so they can come up with a solution later down the line.
Exactly, exactly. And, you know, I mean, I know that I was started young with, you know, there's a hole in the ozone and, you
right.
know, everybody banded together and kind of fixed that problem. And so, you know, the more that we hear that something is a problem, somebody's going to come up with a great invention or a great technology or software that's going to help out. It's just, are we going to back it?
Right.
Are we going to find that it is important enough to put forth an effort to push that technology through?
Exactly. So speaking about education, you mentioned about the workshops and the education shops. So what are some things that the attendees can expect to learn while they're at Flourish?
Yeah. So, you know, we have a sustainability coordinator this year, and the IAMS education department are kind of combining efforts to talk about nature in your everyday lives. They're going to have a whole table on biomimicry, which is in everyday life, there's a lot of things that has taken, what's the word, that has looked at nature, found something that nature or an insect or an animal does, and we've mimicked it in our own life, like Velcro,
mm-hmm.
you know, with animals that can stick to things or, you know, suction cups.
Right.
Like it's all taken off of something nature-based,
mm-hmm.
and we've turned it into something that we as a human race can use But that goes into patterns. It goes into fashion, has a lot of it. And so that's a big part of it. And then, of course, we're going to talk about, you know, the good, bad, and ugly of the fashion industry and how that has an effect on us personally, on the environment as a whole, and then the greater scheme of things. But then we're also going to have some fun stuff, like a table that is animals, plants, insects, that's funk versus punk. So they're going to have what characteristics belong to certain animals, and then would you put them in a funk category or a punk category?
Yeah.
So, you know, if there's going to be a couple elements where people are going to be hands-on with things if they want to be. Mm. It'll be a learning experience. We're going to be talking about a lot of natural textiles versus invasive species, and we're going to have a couple of maybe art installations on property, so people could maybe even get involved that way.
Cool.
Yeah.
So what inspired this year's theme of punk versus funk?
Well, the first year was, you know, very, that's when Bridgerton was coming out. So it was a very regal and elegant look. Mm-hmm. The second year was, the theme was keep growing. So we took it from the kind of the basic level to what can we branch out? And we had a lot of different designers last year, everything from very elegant headpieces made out of seeds and grasses to outfits that looked like animals, a lot of recycled, upcycled, quilted materials, stuff like that. This year, we wanted to push the envelope a little bit more. And if you look at nature with the bright colors, the patterns, all that stuff in animals and what that symbolizes, we thought, why not bring that into the fashion realm,
right,
and push that, but also connect it back to nature?
No, for sure. I was just having this debate with my friends earlier yesterday,
yeah,
about fashion choices, you know, because they say fashion is a revolving door. And I think bringing back funk, you know, the 70s was such a very interesting time of fashion choices, bell bottoms, leisure suits.
And colors, textures.
The colors were crazy.
I mean, the patterns themselves. I mean, my mom and dad were very much in that realm. And they were even on the tame side of things. But you're looking, you're like, ooh, that was a choice. That was a big choice that you made. And I'm so proud you did.
Right.
I don't know if I could pull it off, but somebody can. But it's coming back.
You think so?
Yeah, I mean, I think that people are pushing the envelope with color choices, with the different coordinating pieces that they're wearing.
Right.
I mean, you know, you're seeing that corduroys are making a comeback. And
oh,
all
yeah,
this stuff.
I just bought a pair of corduroys a few days
ago.
Yeah,
you did. Because, you know, it is coming back around, but I think every generation puts their own spin on it.
No, for sure, for sure. I've always wanted to know, will I see butterfly collars in my lifetime?
I mean, it's not out of the realm of possibility.
Those are pretty goofy.
I mean, would it be on my shelf? Maybe not. But would it be on somebody's? Absolutely.
Probably.
Somebody could pull that off. Maybe not me.
Could we expect to see a butterfly collar laser shoot?
I wouldn't put it past you to see some very interesting things on the runway this year.
Especially with punk versus funk, yeah.
I know. And you, I mean, in both directions, you can go very wild and outlandish, or you could be everyday wear.
Right.
You know, and so, you know, generations have been built on funk and punk. So might as well own it and love it and see what people can come up with.
No, for sure. I definitely think both genres, you can see inspirations in modern day fashion choices, you know, especially in the streetwear culture. I don't know if you are familiar with what's hot in streetwear, but like the big pants,
yep,
are starting to make a comeback, big platform shoes.
Yeah, and before that, you know, you had your high-waisted stuff. It's all coming back.
It's all coming back.
And we've seen it before, and, you know, the older generation's like, oh, I thought that was gone. But really, I mean, it's people are putting a new spin to it.
Right. How long do you think it'll be before people start wearing suits every day?
I don't know. I am so not a suit person.
Right.
But, I mean, people do it. I mean, it's starting.
That was a very...
In different realms, it's already started.
You look back in the history books, and literally people just wore suits every single day.
I don't know how. I'm more like, am I comfortable? Can I run around?
Right.
And, you know, because at IAMS, I just set up all these events, and so I'm constantly running. I'm like, I don't know if a suit would suit me very well.
Exactly. I'm wondering, like, exactly how practical that was. You know, what material were those suits made out of? Because, like, you don't ever, like, people didn't start wearing jeans until, like, casually until, like, the 50s, right?
Right. Yeah. And even beyond that, even, you know, as a workwear.
Yeah.
You know, so... I don't know. I feel like I embrace that we've gone a little bit more casual
right,
with what we need to wear to work, and it's less structured.
No, right.
But you know, I mean, it allows everybody to have a little bit of flair.
No, for sure, for sure. I'm definitely glad suits are now considered a special occasion.
Special occasion, exactly. Right. Like, I'm going to dress up with this.
Right.
I'm going to make a point to look that good.
Exactly. Especially working in radio. Can you imagine me wearing a suit?
Every day?
It's literally a waste of a suit. Nobody sees me.
Exactly. You'd have a lot of selfies and be like, ooh, wore my good suit today.
Right.
Wore the second good suit tomorrow.
But in the 40s, there were no selfies.
No.
So they were just wearing suits just for the people in the building.
They missed out.
Oh, man. So what are some special highlights or surprise elements that people can look forward to this year?
Well, we are rolling out a green carpet.
Cool.
As part of this event. And so there's going to be lots of photo opportunities for people. We are, you know, we're going to be building an art installation as part of this that people are going to, it's going to incorporate fibers from the fashion industry or from the textile industry mixed with some invasive species that our volunteers have pulled from our property.
Mm-hmm.
So that's going to be a cool element. One of our vendors is going to be the Kennedy, and it's not even open yet, but they're going to be like a sneak peek of the restaurant that they're opening this spring, I guess. And so they're going to be out. So there's a lot of fun things for people to get involved with, and maybe listening to some cool punk funk fusion as far as the music goes. And it's going to be good.
Awesome. So are you all still looking for models? How can people, if they want to walk on the runway, how can they get involved with that?
Yeah, well, we've already picked our models.
Okay.
And they're getting fitted with the designers right now. But we still need hair and makeup artists. There's still sponsorship opportunities if you're a business and you want to get out there and support a great cause. We are looking for that. And then participants to like come out and watch the event. Bring your friends, bring your family, bring that cool fashionista that you work with, and come on out to IAMS on the 21st.
Are there any volunteer opportunities?
There's
available?
A lot of volunteer opportunities. We're going to be doing setup all that day. There's volunteer opportunities that evening to help us out. We try to make this event as sustainable as possible. So we're using glassware, and we're using a lot of things that are either recyclable or they will be reused and taken back and washed and all that stuff. So there's a lot of opportunities to help us out there and just getting people in the door. So we would, we have a volunteer opportunity on our website that they can go sign up for.
Awesome. What's the website called?
It's just IAMS.org. And then there's a thing to say, get involved, and you can click on the volunteer opportunities and it'll take you right to that. And if Flourish isn't your thing, there's always volunteer opportunities out at IAMS, whether you like to hike the trail and pick up trash, if you want to help with invasive species, or we have hundreds of events all through the year that you can get involved with, and then help me out. Come help people connect with nature.
Help us.
We need you.
I can see that, man. So it's been 3 years since the inception of the event. Like you said, it's grown exponentially since then. So how do you envision the future growth and expansion of Flourish and plans to involve more designers and collaborate with more organizations?
Yeah. Well, we're talking about now what, like, Flourish right now is a one-off event, but we're talking about how we can make that like a series of events, maybe doing another fashion show to highlight specific designers that are doing great things in the sustainability realm. We're talking about how we can add more swap opportunities, you know, like clothing swaps, gear swaps, book swaps even are great opportunities to recycle what you have, and it might not be like, maybe it's run its course with you in a clothing realm, or like the gear, like River Sports has a gear swap every year, but it still has life left to it. So what can you do, or what can you swap with somebody else to give it your items a second life, and for you to get items that you can give a second life to? So we're talking about having more of those incorporated into our Take Action series, and doing a lot of partnerships with community groups and businesses that are top notch and are doing some great things and doing some really inventive things and innovative stuff in the community.
Awesome. You speak about the community. What impact has Flourish had on the local community, both in terms of raising funds for IAMS and promoting these sustainable fashion practices?
Yeah. So like I said, we have 25 designers this year, but a lot of them own their own businesses. We've done partnerships. Like Knoxville was involved our first year, and Michaela did an amazing job of having her entire outfit made out of like tops to glass jars and plastic pieces, and made this whole, like, it looked like sequins, but it was all made out of little trash pieces. So supporting community, supporting the makers, supporting the local businesses that we'll have at this event. And then we have, as part of Take Action, we have a conservation conversation series that we do, where we offer community groups, community businesses that are doing great things, you know, whether it's a conservation fisheries or Native Plant Rescue Squad, Knoxville, Algeo, that are doing cool things to combat a problem with sustainability or trash or wildlife, you know, that they're coming across in the, you know, East Tennessee area, what they're doing and how their business or the thing that they're going towards, whether it's a nonprofit or not, is making a difference, making an impact on these different issues that are happening in our community in East Tennessee.
Gotcha. It's great that you all are raising awareness for that as well. You know, I'm pretty sure everyone involved is very appreciative to get that platform to showcase that thing.
Yeah, because sometimes it's just, you know, especially if you're a startup, like you don't, you have to hustle. If you are a business owner, a small business owner in the community, I mean, you are the marketer, you are the inventor, you are your social media content maker, you're your tax person. And so, you know, having a little bit of help or getting a place where you can do a workshop in front of an audience, sometimes just finding a place to do that is hard. So
Right. As
much as I can do to support local, that's what we want.
Right,
we are a part of the community and community driven a lot. So we want that to be an option for folks.
For sure. Yeah. Cause a little boost can go a very long way.
It does. I mean, everybody, you know, if the more you help people and support local and shop local and support your community, the stronger we are.
Facts. And that goes across the board for anything.
Anything. Exactly. You know, that's, you know, that's just really important. And I think Knoxville does a great job of it. You know, we are the maker city for a reason.
Right.
And so whether you're a food person or an inventor or a maker in any sense of the word, you know,
There's something here for you.
And Knoxville's here for it.
Awesome. So April 21st, what time? What's the location? We'll let the people know one more time.
Come on out.
About the Flourish Show.
Yeah. Come on out to IAMS. It's going to be on the main plaza by the Visitor Center. The address is 2915 Island Home Avenue. Doors open at 6 o'clock. It goes till 9. There'll be opportunities to meet and greet with the designers and the models afterwards. You'll get an amazing show. And you'll be supporting all the money goes to help IAMS, but you'll be supporting all the makers and the designers and the hair and makeup artists that are going to be there and the models. We can't do it without them. And this is just, it's been an amazing crew. And we're excited for this year.
Awesome. I can't wait to see how it goes. Seems like it's going to be a fantastic time. Thank you for coming in and joining us this morning, Sarah.
Well, thank you for having me.
No problem at all. And for those listening at home, make sure you go and check out the Flourish Show. It's going to be a fantastic day at the IAMS Nature Center, April 21st. And thank you so much again for joining us
today. Thank you. Hope to see you out there.
I'll be there.
Special thanks to Sarah for joining us this morning. And folks, be sure to check out the Flourish Runway Show live at IAMS Nature Center Sunday, April 21st. Tickets are selling quickly, so get yours while you can. I'm Michelle Silva. Thank you so much for listening today. East Tennessee Now is an MWC production. I appreciate you sharing your morning with me. I'm Michelle Silva, and we'll talk to you soon. Remember, East Tennessee Now is available on demand as a podcast from iTunes, Google Play, and Stitcher. Enjoy the rest of your weekend.
You've been listening to East Tennessee Now, a weekly public affairs program featuring some of the people and organizations that make Knoxville and East Tennessee such a great place to live. If you have a suggestion for the program, we'd love to hear from you. Our mailing address is P.O. Box 27100, Knoxville, Tennessee 37927, or call the studios at 865-525-6000. That's 865-525-6000. East Tennessee Now is a presentation of Midwest Communications Company.